Yud Aleph Kislev, Monday the 19th of November, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, were the Avos Jewish?
Sounds like a strange question, right? Were the Avos Jewish? So, how's that to get you going for the morning? Well, it sounds like a funny question, because, you know, I mean, of course they're Jewish, right? What's to discuss? What does it mean that they were Jewish? We became Jewish at Matan Torah. Klal Yisrael became the Jewish people when we got the Torah. So what was beforehand? What was the difference between being Jewish back in the day, meaning before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah? Clearly we have to say that they were Jewish. Something happened, right? But what was that all about? And we will see, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to that, and how it links to this week's parasha, of course, as well, and a number of inyonim to do with the Avos and the Torah. So let's start with the famous connection to this week's parasha, because Yaakov Avinu says, with regards to the beginning of the parasha, he sends Lavan the message, Esav, Im Lavan Garti, Tareg Mitzvah Shemarti. Right? Everyone knows Rashi. Tell him in the middle of the shir now, can't say anything. It's fine. I didn't learn from his evil ways. This is the message that Yaakov gives to Esau. Already it's a bit of a shayla. What do you mean, tarayag mitzvah shamati? How can you keep tarayag mitzvahs? Nobody can keep tarayag mitzvahs, because tarayag mitzvahs are beyond everybody, because some of them only apply to a kohen and a woman and a whatever it might be in the base of mitzvah. So the Chasam Sofer already points out, Tag Mitzvah Shamarti. The word Shamarti doesn't just mean to keep, but it means to anticipate. Like it says, V'oviv Shomar Sadova. Chasam Sofer says, Shamarti, I had this anticipation, I want to keep the whole of the Torah. It says, Nechshav, it's considered as if he kept the whole Torah. Also, Chazal say that if you learn about the topic, it's Ke'ilu that you've kept it as well. So he was learning about all of Torah, and therefore, Lo Gauti Tag Mitzvah Shamarti. Fine. But it's well known already the question of how could Yaakov actually say Tarek Mitzvah Shemarti when Bidiyuk in the house of Lavan was what? Was where he married the two sisters, right? So of all the things to say, Tarek Mitzvah Shemarti, it's a little bit difficult, and everybody's bothered by this question. How could it be that the Avos, we know that the Avos kept the Torah, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav Ches, on the base tells us, Omer Rav, Kim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula, even before it was given, Afilu Erev Tav Shilin. But Yaakov marries two sisters. Amram marries his aunt. And we have difficulties in terms of how do we understand this famous sugya. We do find that they kept the Torah. We find many Ramazan, besides that Gemara, we find that when Yaakov, when Avraham Avinu is baking matzos, ugois matzos, Chazal tell us, yeah, ugois, they were matzos, it was Pesach, the shteik de izim, Chazal tell us, that one was referring to the Korban Pesach, one was Korban Chagiga, that's later on with the brochus. And of course, this week's parashim, Lav and Gati, Tarek Mitzvah Shemarti, Tariyag Mitzvah Shemarti. So there are many answers to why Yaakov can marry two sisters. There are the famous Ramban. The Ramban says it was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban, Keshitosai, in many places. The Maharal absolutely is vehemently against the Ramban's pshat. He cannot tolerate the Ramban's pshat. It can't be what you're saying. The Torah doesn't really apply outside Eretz Yisrael. And the Maharal gives a number of answers, actually. But there is a similar answer between the Maharal, the Ora Chaim, and the Nefesh HaChaim. They all more or less say a similar thing, although the Maharal has a part B. But the Nefesh HaChaim writes in Sha Aleph Perek Chaf Aleph a very, very important principle. And that is, when we hear these expressions, like the Avos kept the Torah, we start thinking to ourselves, what did Avraham Avinu's Seder night look like? Well, what did he say? Avadu Avinu B'Mitzrayim? Like, we think about these questions, and we think, well, what did he do? So we have to raise ourselves up a little bit, and understand that when it says that they kept the Torah, it means the principles and the secrets and the sodos of the Torah. When we talk about Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, Obviously, Avraham Avinu didn't say Zeichel Yisrael Mitzrayim. We haven't gone out of Mitzrayim yet. He can't say Zeichel Yisrael Mitzrayim. But we understand that when we talk about the story of us going out of Mitzrayim, it's not simply a story. We were in Egypt, we came out of Egypt. It's more than a story. It's the formation of Klal Yisrael. When we eat matzah, is it simply because we came out with the matzah on our back? Well, that's what it says in the Psukim. It says we came out in a hurry, so we hadn't come out yet. So what was Avraham Avinu? How could he eat matzah? How did he know? Because matzah represents a concept, an idea. Whatever the idea is, the myriads of ideas that come out from the mitzvahs. The idea, for example, of the fact that we came out in a hurry, we're above time, it's no Yetzer Hara without the Sa'or Shebi Isa, all the other ideas that are contained in the secret of what matzah is, was manifest when we came out of Mitzrayim. Right? When we came out of Mitzrayim in a hurry, the way it didn't bake on our backs and we came out, etc., etc., all of that is expressed in the storyline of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the concept of matzah, and the idea of having matzah dafka on the Leil, the night of the 15th of Nisan, which is already the springtime, the 15th being in the middle of the month, where it's at its maximum, these concepts, which are brought out by the storyline, already existed not just before the giving of the Torah, not just in the days of the Ovis, actually even before the world was created. The concepts and the ideas that the Torah represents, we know the Torah is not a storybook. The storybook is only there to bring us the Nimshol, which is the ideas that underline all the mitzvahs. And the Avos could understand and work out and intuit the Torah even before it was given. Where did they get it from? Number one, we have to understand that before the world received the Torah, you have to be able to access Torah somewhere. Where was Torah before it was given over as a book, as an instruction, as teaching? It was found in the world. You could look and examine, be misbinding in the world, and you could work out the Torah. Very similar to Moshe Lamar Davadoma, is how do we actually extract the physical goodness of the world? How are we able to do this? How come science is so advanced that we've been able to extract from the world all these secrets? Literally, that this herb is good for this, and this remedy will help you for that. How do we know all these things? Because we actually realize that in the world, physically, these things exist. We just need to analyze and work it out, and therefore people for thousands of years, and even nowadays, are into research. You research, you look into you, and what happens? Physically, you come out with a cure or a new understanding in the world itself. It's not a new understanding. It's not a new cure. It was always there. Just you discovered it, right? So that's the same with the Ruchnius as well. It's always there in the world. Just you have to know how to read the world. And the Avos, before the Torah was given, the Avos had the ability on their spiritual level, to look into the world and see if we know the basic principle that the Zohar tells us. Istaka baraisa bara alma. Hashem looks into the world, he looks into the Torah, and created the world. That means that when you can look into the world, you can see the Torah. And that's what they did. They looked into the world and they saw the Torah. So they understood, they learned the Torah, they really understood it. Baruch Kodshom. Through the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu's kidneys taught him Torah, and that also needs to be explained, but that's not for now. But they saw the Torah in the world. That is the Nefesh HaChaim, and that's basic. So how come Yaakov can marry two wives? So, two sisters. And that is because,
Two sisters.
And that is because, here's the difference. When you can intuit in the world and see what's going on, so there are times where one can understand that right now, what we would call a Hiras Shah, there are times where it's needed to be able to break the rules, Ke'ilu. Right? And therefore Yaakov understood, Baruch Kodshoi, that it was necessary to marry these two sisters. Now, here's a very important caveat, an extra point here. What about nowadays? Are we able to do that nowadays? Are we able to say, well, I can intuit here that this is needed? No. You can't do such a thing. Why? What's the difference? Why would the obvious they could, and why post-Machon Torah, why can we not do such a thing? Because once a tzivui has been given, once a command has been given, the command is a command. You cannot break the command, come what may. Once that command has been given, the Torah has been given, that is the rule. Beforehand, if you understand what the world is about, so you can understand that it can be changed, says the Nefesh HaChaim. Let's give a moshel that the Talzer Rav gives, perhaps to make this more understandable. There are two different ways that we can relate to the tzivui and the mitzvahs from the Torah. He describes, before Matan Torah, it was like doctor's orders. You go to a doctor, and you say, doctor, I've got this and this problem. He listens to the whole case, he prescribes you medication. Fine. Are you obligated to take the medication? Not obligated. You don't want to get better, get better. Yeah. Not obligated. But, you know, it's your right choice to be able to understand that this is what it's all about. Now, what happens if you decide, you've already had this experience, you've been to the doctor many times, and you decide that I have to be careful how I say this, but you think, and I'm not going to say you up the medication, because that would be, I'll definitely get into trouble, but you think that, you know what, the doctor's prescribed you a certain amount, but you're used to your body, and you know exactly how it's worked, and too much is not good for you, and you take a little bit less. Let's say that example is a much safer example, right? You take a little bit less than was prescribed. Are you doing something wrong? Well, the doctor didn't order you that you must take this amount. He said this is what this prescription is. And now, if you would go back to him probably and discuss it with him, say, look, the dosage is a bit too high for me and I'm getting stomach ache from it, I'm going to take a little bit less, etc., etc., you can understand why that would be okay. You're not breaking the doctor's rules. He never gave you a rule. He gave you advice. Masha Engen, if a king comes to town, all the law is that the government set down, this is the law. You can't say, well, I know the law was said like this, but you know it's okay if I take the red light within a couple of second. No, you can't say such a thing. The law is the law. So once the Torah has been given, and the tzivui has been given out, you cannot say, well, for me, maybe this is different. I understand the reason of the Torah is this, and therefore the reason is now changed. We don't do such a thing. Once the command is given, you cannot break the command. Before the Torah was given, it was doctor's orders. Meaning, they read in the world that this is what is needed, this is what's healthy. You need to do this, healthy spiritually. This is what's good for you, this is what's bad for you. And Yaakov understood that normally you don't marry two sisters. But in this particular situation, he understood what the doctor would have said to him. Or to say it properly, because Baruch Hu was happy and did want him to marry the two sisters in this particular situation. And therefore, that's why it was okay for Yaakov Avinu before the Torah was given. But for us, we don't take the Tamei Torah and start using that for making up our own things. We have to follow the king's orders. Okay. That's the Nefesh HaChayim. And the Aruch Chaim says a similar thing also in this week's parasha as well. Now, okay, so if the others kept the Torah, then we have a little bit of a side question. Which is, so what about Bris Milah? Ask all the Achronim. So why did Avraham Avinu, if he intuited the whole Torah, he could read the whole Torah, he knew what to do even before it was given. Okay, so very good. So where was Bris Milah? Why did Avraham Avinu not keep the Bris Milah even before he'd been commanded by Avraham Avinu? So that's a very famous question that many deal with. Let me just share with you two answers. There are many more. The first answer is the Mizrahi, the Re'eim. And the Re'eim says, we know a very famous principle, God la mitzvah v'aisa, mish'eina mitzvah v'aisa. Better is the one that's commanded, rather than one that's not commanded. Now the truth is, when you first hear this, you think it's a little bit counterintuitive. Imagine you decided, you wake up, you're in such a generous mood, and your wife hasn't asked you to do anything, but you've tidied up the kitchen, you're about to take out the rubbish, you've put the bin bag in a knot, you're taking it out, and you know, you feel so good about yourself. It's wonderful, you know, what an amazing husband. You're patting yourself on the back, and before you know it, you hear a voice coming from upstairs, can you just make sure you take out the rubbish, please? And you think to yourself, I'm doing it already. I'm doing it. I don't need you to tell me. Oh, that's the pshat. According to Tosfos. Well, not exactly, he didn't speak about that in Peter Yorke's example. But main, yeah? That is the pshat of, he doesn't mention that situation. But that is the pshat that God la mitzvah v'aisa, mish'eina mitzvah v'aisa. Why? Because when you took it out, because you felt like I was, you know, Mr. Religious and I'm doing the right thing and I'm such a king and everything else, it's one thing. But when you hear that voice saying, can you take it out? And there's this yetzer hara in you that says, you don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. Right? When you hear that voice, now you go and take it out. Oh, that's much more. Because you're now overcoming the Yetzer Hara. You're able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That is something which is God l'mitzvah v'aisa, mish'eina mitzvah v'aisa. Or another pshat they bring down is, let's put it this way. Another pshat is that if you take out the rubbish because you think it's a good thing to do. So, okay, so you are the one that's commanded yourself and you've decided to do it, so it's all up to you. But if you do it because of Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Hashem says, now you're shliach of Hashem. It's a totally different thing. If you do a mitzvah because you want to do it, you ain't a mitzvah v'aisa, so you are the source of the mitzvah. Okay, well done. But if you do it because Hashem says, then you're a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a different level. You're now doing a mitzvah because Hashem says so. So therefore, they say that with Avraham Avinu, he wanted to wait till he would be a mitzvah of Isa, commanded about bris milah, and only then would he do the mitzvah. The only question on that is, how did he know that there was going to be a tzivui on it? And if there was going to be a tzivui on that, what about all the other mitzvahs? Huh? I can only do it once. That's the pshat they say. You can only do a bris milah once, so you can't. If you start doing other mitzvahs, keep Shabbos. So you wait. Maybe there'll be a tzivui one day, but every Shabbos is another opportunity. But with bris milah, you can only be done once. Another pshat is beautiful pshat of the Griz, and it's also brought down many others. Achreinim through the Eish speaks this out as well. That a bris wasn't simply the fact that he did a maisa of cutting some flesh. A bris means a covenant. A covenant is a pact between two parties. So if you go ahead on your own, you're missing the whole bris part. The bris was, Hashem comes and says, I want to create the bris with you. Well, that can only be after there's been a tzivui, after there's been a command, right? Because if you initiate it, it's kind of like you with yourself. It's got to be with another party, and therefore he waited for that command. Okay, so we know that the Ovis kept the Torah, and even all these details. Fine. Next. There is a question that bothered me. Because again, it's like one of these questions I started with. Are the Ovis Jewish? So let's just address that. That's like a bit of a strange question. Were the Ovis Jewish? Because they're Jewish. And yet it's discussed a little bit. Discussed. What do I mean? What's it to discuss? Well, the Achronim want to know, the Parshas Drochim as a whole, Arichus on this Mishnah Lemelech, he wants to, were the Ovis like non-Jews, Bnei Noach plus, super non-Jews, but they know up with an extra, or were they Jewish? Just not the same as what then evolved into Matan Torah. Okay, it's a funny question, because we know that they were Jewish. They're the building bricks of the world, but we need to analyze it. At the same time, there's also another question which bothered me more, which was, I saw the Achronim ask, we know there's a problem of Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa. A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So they ask, so how could the Ovis kept the whole Torah? How could they keep Shabbos? They weren't Jewish. Now that bothered me immensely. There's like, that question just sort of just doesn't go. There's like some questions that bother you, like, it doesn't even a question. How could you even ask that? But, what is the answer? I mean, literally, the people are giving answers as to what it could be, how. But let me share with you here. So one answer you could suggest, and then I'm going to suggest my main answer, is the following. That this business of not keeping Shabbos of a non-Jew is only a certain type of Shabbos. What does it mean a non-Jew can't keep Shabbos? By the way, can they keep Shabbos on Sunday? Is that a problem? Or is it just Shabbos? And what does it mean they can't keep Shabbos? So the Rambam writes, Nuchas Melachim Perek Yud Halacha Tes, Akum She'osef HaTorah Chayav Misa. If a goy learns Torah, Chayav Misa. That's a special privilege for Klal Yisrael. Lo Yasek Ela B'Sheva Mitzvah Shalem B'Vad. He's allowed to learn seven mitzvahs. So goy can learn Sheva Mitzvah B'Nei Noach. By the way, one of the seven mitzvahs is Dinim. So that's quite a lot of things to learn. You know, all of law, Bobakam Mesir Babasio, can you learn that with them? Efsha. V'chein Hakim Sheshavas Afilu B'Yom, and then a non-Jew that Shavas, keep Shabbos. Afilu B'Yom Yimais HaChol, even on a weekday, if they decide Sunday is our Sabbath. Imasa'o La'atzmai Kumai Shabbos, if they say this is our Sabbath, Chayev Misa. Okay? We don't even need to talk about it. If they made a festival for themselves, you can't do that. Says the Rambam. We do not allow them to invent a new religion, but lastly, mitzvahs la'atzmon, and to come up with mitzvahs, as it were, midaton. They're not allowed to do that. Okay? This is part of Goy Sheshavas. It's a davar pashut then, obviously. Avraham Avinu didn't keep Shabbos as a new religion. Avraham Avinu kept Shabbos as Shabbos. So, the Rambam's posher, it's very clear. It's not even a shayla, Goy Sheshavas. Goy Sheshavas, he invents a new Shabbos. Avraham didn't invent a new Shabbos. Avraham kept Shabbos, the Shabbos. And for him, this was, and that was not a problem. But we want to explain more fundamentally, it's not a problem because he was Jewish. So what do we mean by the fact that he was Jewish, and then what changed afterwards? So, in order to understand what changed afterwards, let's take a fast forward to a parasha later on in the Torah in Bamidbar. We know the Jewish people complain, but here I'm misunderstanding him. They're complaining. Boichel mishpachaisav.
What's that?
pasuk says, "Yishma Moshe's on Bochel Mishpachosav Perik Yudalef in Bamidbar pasuk Yud," and they're crying about the families. Ish le Pesach Olay Yichaf Hashem. Oid Hashem was very angry. Uveinay Moshe Ra. What does it mean they were crying about the families? What were they crying about? Says Rashi. They were terribly upset about the fact that now they were not allowed to marry close relatives. The Sifri brings it out. When Moshe said, they used to be married to the sister of the father, sister of the mother. He told them, right, we've got to put an end to this, you're not allowed, it's Asa. Sister's out, aunt's out. They were very sad. They were distressed. They were crying. Okay. There's a famous question on this. I don't understand why you're crying. Surely we have a principle, Gesh in this Gaia. Anybody who converts is like not related at all to anybody. Not your father, mother, siblings, your completely new entity. So one second, why were they crying? Jewish people, where did we learn Gerus from? From Matan Torah. We went through Gerus. We all became Gerim. If we all became Gerim, so none of us are related to anybody. Yeah, it's not your sister. So why were they crying that the sister was now Osa? Why would the sister be Osa? Surely it should be allowed, since Gesh and Sky could cause Mishavayla Domi, you're completely new. That's the kasha that everybody asks on this crying. Hasim Sofer actually writes in one place, he doesn't know where is the makor. For many years, he said, he doesn't know where is the makor in the Torah of Ger, Shniskaya, Kakotan, Shanoilad. Where does it say such a thing? Where did we get this idea? Ger, this guy, like Kakotan, Shanoilad, like newborn, not related. Okay, that's the Hasim Sofer's suffering. But let me share with you a famous Chidushay Hagranat in Yevamos Simin Yudalef. And others say it in a similar form, and it relates to the Ovis and the Torah as well, as you'll see. Were we Magaya at Matan Torah? Yes, we were. Were we related? We're still related. Why? Gesh in this guy, Kotan Shanoilad? No. Gesh in this guy, Kotan Shanoilad means a non-Jew, somebody's completely from beyond, that comes to join the Jewish people. They are a new entity. But a Jew, which is what we were Jewish, that became a new level, we'll have to discuss what that is in a second, that's not a new entity. So what is the makeup of becoming Jewish? There are two aspects to being a Yid. Number one, you're shayach to the name Klal Yisrael. You're called Yisrael. We are B'nai Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. That's who you are, that's your name. And that name stays with you, the Dorei Dorois. That's who you are. Number two, another aspect of becoming a Ger, besides the fact that you now get the name Klal Yisrael, is you accept upon yourself Torah and Mitzvahs. The practical keeping of the Torah and the Mitzvahs. Now we know, unfortunately, that even if people do not keep Torah and Mitzvahs, they're still Jewish. Still Jewish. They still have the name Klal Yisrael. It means we see that there are two aspects to being Jewish. One is the shame Klal Yisrael, and the other is you're obligated to Torah and Mitzvahs. That's for sure, if a ger says, you know what, I want to convert. You say, okay, you've got to keep all the Torah mitzvahs. Well, a minute, my Jewish colleague, who told me about Judaism, they don't keep much. Why can't I do what they do? Good kasha. Unfortunately, painful question. But we won't accept a ger to come be part of Klal Yisrael if all they're going to have is a name Jew. We don't want that. We want the full Jew, i.e. the name Klal Yisrael and keeping Torah mitzvahs. I happen to be those that don't keep Torah mitzvahs, they're still called Jewish. Nebuch. It's a shame. And please God, they should all keep Torah mitzvahs. But there are two aspects to becoming Jewish. Now, therefore, Gershon's guy, Kokosh Shanoila, becoming Jewish is an outsider joining the ranks. That's a different story. Then you're Kokosh Shanoila. But the Jewish people before Matan Torah, you want to tell me we're Jewish? To be Jewish, to have the shame Yisrael, where does that come from? Yaakov. Yaakov is called Yisrael. The name Klal Yisrael comes from the Ovos. You want to tell me we're not related to the Ovos? So why do you get up at Yishmon Esther and say, Elokeinu v'gev v'seinu, look Avram, look Yisrael, look Yaakov? You're not related to them. Of course you're related to them. Of course they were Klal Yisrael. But what they kept was Torah mitzvahs. They had the name Klal Yisrael, and of course they kept Torah mitzvahs. And the name Klal Yisrael gets passed down. But what happens now when we receive the Torah is that we accept upon ourselves not just the name Klal Yisrael, although we already had the name Klal Yisrael, but also the concept of Torah and mitzvahs we take upon ourselves fully. And therefore he explains to the Gnat, that's what we can understand. Why did they cry? Because they're also to the sister. Of course they're also. You're still related. I guess this guy got to No, that's an outsider coming inside. Okay. With that, we can hopefully also explain a little bit now. What does it mean, the Ovid? Who were the Ovid? Were they Jewish? We said, it sounds a strange question. It's discussed. Of course they were Jewish. They had the same Klal Yisrael. But the Torah and the mitzvahs that they kept was as an Eino Mitzvah for Isa. They were not commanded in the Torah. They worked it out. Doctor's orders. They understood that this was the correct thing to do. And therefore, because he understood it, Yaakov was able to marry two sisters, because he understood. But once the king is commanded, that's a new, completely new station. Now that we can't, after Matan Torah, you can't break the orders. Now, Efshar, I wanted to end to say...
I can't say that because Kodesh commanded for the priests, and this the minute they became Jewish.
You could possibly say that, but that means up until that point, Avraham really didn't have the Shem Klal Yisrael, also a bit difficult. Means you could... He had the Shem... Could be that was when it started. But Yaakov certainly had the Shem Klal Yisrael. So I want to suggest, perhaps, based on this whole thing, a new idea in Lavan Galti, the Targum Mitzvah Shemarti. What was Yaakov really saying to Lavan? To Esau? What was he saying to him? Lavan, he was obviously trying to tell him, don't start up with me. In Lavan Galti, Targum Mitzvah Shemarti. First thing that we learn is the word Galti is the remez also to Tariag. In that word Galti, we see two concepts. Ger, i.e. that means, I was a stranger with Lavan. I wasn't anything to do with him. He was Lavan, I was Shem Klal Yisrael. I had nothing to do with him. And number two, Tariag Mitzvah Shemarti. These are the two aspects of being a Yid. Having the Shem Klal Yisrael, and Tariag Mitzvah Shemarti. But you might claim that the Shem Klal Yisrael is not going to wash when it comes to Esav. Chazal actually called Esav Yisrael Muma. But it could be, if Yaakov would say, you can't mess with me, because I've got the Shem Klal Yisrael. Well, he could answer back, I've also got the Shem Klal Yisrael, because I'm also a Ben Yitzchak, right? I'm the son of Yitzchak, I'm also a grandson of Avraham Avinu. In terms of our Yichus, we're exactly the same. You can't use your name Yisrael against Esav, in theory, because he could answer back, I've got the same as you, right? He's wrong, Lemaisa, he's wrong. But if Yaakov said that, you could have argued, we're on the same ground for this one. You're just as related to Yitzchak and Avraham as I am. But love and gauti, tariag mitzvah shemarti, that you don't have. You don't have that. And to be a yid, to have the full force of a yid, is to have the shein yisrael, and to keep Torah mitzvahs. In love and gauti, tariag mitzvah shemarti, you don't have the tariag. You might be able to claim that you have the shein yisrael, which by the way, he's wrong, he doesn't have the shein yisrael, he does not. But he can at least claim, maybe he does, but tariag mitzvah shemarti, that's my realm, you haven't got any of that. And therefore, that's why you better be scared of me. That's what Yaakov was saying. Two aspects, therefore, to being a Yid, to being a Jew. And therefore we ask this very strange question, were the others Jewish? Did they have the Shem Klal Yisrael? Of course. And therefore that's why we continue that name, the name of Klal Yisrael. And that's why, of course, Avraham Avinu kept Shabbos. He was a Yid. He kept Shabbos. Don't get a Shiloh. It's not Goyish Shabbos. No, he's not a guy. Avraham, he's a Yid. There's no question about that. And however, the way they kept the Torah mitzvahs was as doctor's orders. And that's why Yaakov was able, says Nefesh HaChaim, to marry two sisters, doctor's orders. Once the Torah has been given, you can't break that at all. Now we've got it as tzivuyim, proper commands. There's nothing to talk about. And therefore, this would explain a little bit, what does it mean to be a Yid? We have the Shem Klal Yisrael, and we keep Torah mitzvahs. We should be zoicha, that all of us, all Yidden in Klal Yisrael, should not just have the Shem Klal Yisrael, but also have the Tariag Mitzvah Shemati.